Hey, everybody. Welcome to Flash Fried. We're going to be doing this a little bit differently from here on out. Typically what we've done in the past is we shoot this entire episode for patrons and we give them the full thing and then we take clips and we put that out to the YouTube channel. We're going to be doing it a little differently now. We're going to be modeling it more after kind of how we do the main show, where we're going to be putting out the first half of the episode for the public and we're going to be doing the second half of the episode for patrons where they just get the full length episode, basically.
Yeah. That's right.
So that's just to make it a little easier on ourselves and, you know, whatever.
It's like basically the same thing.
It's not really too much different.
It's basically the same thing.
It is. The only difference is you guys don't get any of the fucking second half of the clips.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of clips they don't get anyway, though.
There are. Yeah. Like, even when we clip them up, we usually only put forward a few clips from each episode.
Yeah, we put like four clips maybe per episode, and we cover like 10 or 12 an episode.
Right. So, I mean, like, really, you're probably getting more of it overall if you really think about it. But anyway,
they won't.
They're not.
they're not going to think
care.
About
I mean,
it that
like,
way.
I'm just, you know, hey, you know, if you don't want to be, if you want to get the whole thing. $5.
You know what,
month.
Paul? I defend the people, Paul. They will get it. They do understand.
Hedge your bets this time. See how it works out for you.
I don't like it. You know what? I just assume they're not happy with any change. Like, so guys, we made a slight tweak to the logo. You know. So and
how dare you? Say
I just
that,
assume
TJ.
That any sort of change is going
to
be
you're
met
listening
with
to
fucking
a,
outrage.
You're
yes.
listening to a vocal and loud minority. TJ.
But
does not represent most of your fan base and attacking the rest of your fan base unjustly.
Fuck the fan base. Fuck you. If you're a fan of the show, fuck you. Fuck you in the ass. Unless you're a patron, then you're cool. Anyway,
wow. Disappointed, dude.
So the first story, the first story in the pleb section of the fuck. I really call him that, by the way.
Okay, he's dropping. First in the pleb section. Let's read some more economic news.
I do.
I was down 300 points today.
I have in my head buffet, chef's table, and plebs. And that's what I call the non-patrons. But look,
for sure.
We love our plebs here, and that's why we give our plebs shit, too.
Speak for yourself.
All right.
Paul.
I do. Because I know Paul just hates them all.
Yeah.
Gotta hate them.
Plebs,
all.
Hate them.
Paul's ego.
$5 people, hate them slightly less. $10 people, hate them more.
Yeah, for some reason, I hate the people that pay us the most.
A little bit more.
A little bit more than
like,
everybody else.
It's almost like they expect too much of me, so fuck them. You know?
Oh, you're a $10 patron. How are your farts smelling today? Yes. Oh, creamy. No, thank you.
Look, as long as Paul likes like dogs and cats and animals, I think I'm cool with him. Like,
yeah, you know,
he likes Dinor and shit. So if he was like Dinor sucks, I'd be
Paul
sucks, dude.
Posted
Dinor's
an ultra
awesome.
Cute picture of Dinor and Cricket, his cat, on Twitter recently. It's so cool.
That's true.
Oh, dude, you know what? I was I fucking have noticed lately. I started carrying like I try to make sure there's always a pen in my pocket because I don't like using the pens that people give me.
Are you like wielding the pen like Bob Dole now? Remember how Dole used to always have the pen?
And I'm an honest man, you know. No, but you know what's weird? If you fucking do that, if someone like gives you some paper to sign and they try to hand you a pen and you just produce your own pen, like I will sign with my pen, thank you. They look at you like you're a fucking wizard. Like, what?
You have a pen?
You have your own pen?
He has been chosen.
I mean, it is kind of weird. Most like at least for dudes. I mean, chicks always have pens in their purse.
Yeah. I try to remember, I do like keys, wallet, cell phone, and now I make sure pen and lighter. Because I'm like, I need a pen and a lighter too. I always need a pen and a lighter. So keys, wallet, phone,
don't
pen,
you get
lighter.
Like a real, like ostentatious, nice looking pen, all jewel encrusted and shit. And bring
maybe
that
I
out.
Should.
And bring like a little inkwell that you dip it into before.
Oh my God, dude. The looks on people's faces if I had a fucking inkwell. Dude.
Oh,
it'd
be amazing.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Inkwell it, dude.
You get a quill, TJ.
Yeah, get
fuck
a big.
That.
Yeah, yeah, a big peacock feather.
Oh,
quill.
I can like wear it in over my ear usually, and then I can just pull it out and grab the inkwell out of my pocket, unscrew it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Learn some calligraphy.
My handwriting is too. Yeah, I'm about to say if I'm going to do that, I have to improve my handwriting. I have to improve from this chicken scratch.
And
I got.
You know what people remark when you leave? What a unique and interesting fellow that TJ was.
Yes.
An inkwell and a quill. Who would have thought such a thing?
How outrageous! Anyway, so here's good news. This is rare for this show, by the way.
Good news?
Yeah, good news. Can you believe it?
It's the wrong show, dude.
Kamala Harris drops out of presidential race after plummeting from top tier of Democratic candidates.
Bye-bye, Kamala!
Thank goodness.
So, yeah, A lot of shit's happened here. I don't think we nearly need to get into the article. We can kind of just talk about this. I'll just put us back on the screen for this Kamala shit.
Dude, Kamala?
Hold on. Let me just set this up, because we've watched all but the most recent of the Democratic debates.
I watched that one.
Well, you did watch that. That's true.
Well, not really.
You kind of sort of watched it.
Only Klobuchar.
You did a Klobuchar-only event.
Klobuchar only, yeah.
a unique take on the debate, for sure.
On ideology. But we as a podcast have done all the debates, and you know, but we just got to this last one, and we're so busy, and we're just like, man, do we really want to do this? Because it's going to be the same fucking shit again. Still 20 people on the fucking stage, same motherfuckers saying the same fucking shit with the same fucking talking points, the same stupid fucking format rules that prevent anything of substance from ever fucking being discussed or happening on the stage.
I'm sorry, did you have 10 seconds left to make your point?
Oh, right, yeah. So anyway, we didn't watch the last one. And every fucking debate, we've had the same fucking criticism. It's like, please, some of these people need to go away. Some of these people need to drop out. And finally, it seems like they're starting to finally drop the fuck out of this.
Slowly but surely, it's happening.
Kamala Harris really impressed us during the first debate performance.
She was super well-prepped at the first debate.
We were just like, wow, she is a force to be reckoned with. And then the next time we saw her, it was like, huh, Kamala didn't really do too good tonight. And then the next time we saw her, it was like, wow, she really sucks.
Just kind of degraded by steps.
Right, and she just got worse and worse with every debate performance.
Well, she came in and no one had any kind of idea how to kind of peg her. Then she had that really good fucking exchange with Joe Biden and went after him. She fucking skyrocketed in the polls. And then as quickly just went down.
Well, it's because every performance subsequent to that, she was awful.
And she wrote it like really inane things. It was like, ban Trump from Twitter, ban Trump from Twitter. And
right.
And
she chose really strange signature issues.
No one really was behind that. It was like, yeah, people want that, but it wasn't a priority.
Yeah, even if you're someone who wants Trump banned from Twitter for some fucking reason, like you think that's going to do something, it's not, still probably not the biggest priority in your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there were a few people that really wanted that, but it just wasn't resonating with the wider populace.
So one of the things I've seen since this happened is a lot of people, even people who didn't even support her, are now coming out and being like, that's great. The one woman of color voice has been silenced from the debates.
Here we go.
You know?
So her dropping out is her being silenced right now?
Oh, did you guys hear about that that letter from that resigned campaign staffer?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the nail in the coffin.
That was one of the things that was like the precursor to her dropping out.
A staffer, by the way, that immediately went and worked for Bloomberg.
So
yes.
So what happened with that? I didn't hear about that.
All right.
You don't have to pull it, TJ. Cause
I think there's some juicy excerpts in there.
It's just some high-level campaign staffer of hers wrote a letter, like an internal letter that got leaked that was basically called her campaign rudderless and headless. And
oh, wow.
How it had a distinct lack of leaders who lead and, you know, that type of shit. And it got leaked out to the press, and it, you know, kind of gave us a look at the inner turmoil of her campaign.
And the main...
They were saying she didn't have any kind of a plan going into Iowa. Like, there was no, like, vision going into Iowa for the campaign
at
all.
So she was trying to survive to Iowa, hopefully have a good performance, and then kind of lead that.
But wasn't using her time or any of the resources to plan any kind of push or to try and come up with a different message that resonated better. She wasn't trying to engineer a bump at all in Iowa.
And,
she just thought she was going to walk in there and do okay.
So here's an excerpt. This is my third presidential campaign, and I have never seen an organization treat its staff so poorly. With less than 90 days until Iowa, we still do not have a real plan to win. Harris is the strongest candidate for the general election, but I no longer have confidence in our campaign or its leadership. Well, if she's the strongest candidate, then how the fuck
she wasn't? Though.
You're right.
If you're gonna say that the campaign is one of the worst you've ever seen, you can't then also say Kamala Harris is still a strong leader.
She's the head of the campaign.
Right.
The buck stops with her on the campaign.
I emphatically disagree with that statement. I mean, like, Joe Biden is more organized, Warren is more organized, Bernie Sanders is more organized, Andrew Yang is more organized, Buttigieg is more organized. They have fervent, massive support. I mean, like, to say Kamala Harris was the best candidate or the strongest is just a joke.
One of the things that came out of that letter was that, you know, the campaign was in such disarray and it was treating its staff so poorly. Basically, they had people move across the country to go be part of this campaign.
Sure.
And, like, fired them, like, weeks later. Like, yeah, move across country. We become part of the Harris campaign. And then they do it. And then it's like, we don't need you. You're fired.
They just dump them in a fucking state they've never lived in.
So it's like, oh, wow. I'm so glad I moved out here for this fucking job. You know, that now doesn't exist anymore. And, of course, a few days after the letter leaked, Kamala Harris's campaign was suspended. You know, she's out of it.
Yep.
So what does that do for the next debate? Who's going to be in the next debate? Are we finally going to have a debate that's not 20 people?
I know for a fact that it opens up a podium for John Delaney to make a return to the
debate stage. Hell yeah, John.
Have you seen how he's campaigning now?
He's working out.
Yeah.
He's just working out.
He's doing pull-ups and planks and shit and just uploading that as his campaign message.
I guess, you know, can any of the other candidates do that?
I'm the buff one.
So as Sarah Harris has dropped out, she had already qualified for these debates, but obviously she's not going to be there anymore. So who is going to be in these next debates? Right now there's only six. Can you believe it? There might actually be a debate that doesn't have 10 fucking candidates on the stage.
Cut the billionaire and collect Klobuchar.
Let's talk real briefly about who's going to be there. President Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, is going to be there. He's obviously, we're going to be talking a little bit more about him later, by the way, because he's gotten in this.
He's a meme factory now.
Oh, God, he is, yes. And for some reason, still the front runner. No one knows why. No one can explain it, but he's there. Mayor Pete Buttigieg has seen a little bit of a surge recently. So he's making a serious run for that Joe Biden establishment Dem sort of position.
Buttigieg's huge issue is he has almost no black supporters at all.
Oh God, no! It's like 100% white.
Yeah, so that's like, I mean, and for the coalition he has to build to win, he definitely needs that. I mean, I don't know if they're gonna necessarily go for Trump if he was to become the nominee, but
they might just stay home.
Yeah, they might not be. They might be inspired to say, Well, Buttigieg sucks.
If you just look at Pete Buttigieg, you can just look at him and see why he doesn't have any black support. I mean, he just looks like a real uptight white dude.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Looks like a loaf of Wonder Bread standing up there. Yeah.
So, Senator Amy Klobuchar, for some hideous fucking reason, is still in this.
Hey, don't knock Klobuchar, TJ. I did a Klobuchar-only debate, and man, she's great.
She's great.
She has all the best answers.
And then billionaire Tom Steyer has bought his way into yet another debate.
Good job.
Because, you know, for some reason, that's what we need. We need a fucking billionaire.
How do you beat one billionaire? You get another billionaire.
And I'm sure Bloomberg will have bought his way by the time we get to the... Probably not in this debate, but by the time we get to the next one, Bloomberg will probably bought his way up on the stage as well.
Almost certainly.
Senator Bernie Sanders... Senator Elizabeth Warren. So right now we have six, and if it stays here, I mean, like, I'd really like to see Amy Klobuchar and Tom Steyer off that stage as well. But
I got to be honest with you, I think Buttigieg could get off the stage too.
Well, like I said, he's surging in the polls.
He's having a little bump or whatever.
He's actually leading in Iowa according to some polls. So
I don't see Buttigieg going very far in this.
I don't really think he's got the. I don't think he's going to go the distance either.
But whatever. Even with these six people, even if it's stuffed a little heavy, there's like chance for the fucking debate to breathe here.
I mean, like, there's actually a potential here for maybe something that looks like a fucking debate.
If they don't add two or three more fucking people.
But yeah, I mean, like, it says it's taking place December 19th, so these other candidates don't have a lot of time to get there. Thank God. And let's just think about the fallen here. We don't have any Cory Booker. Thank God.
Oh, my God.
No Julian Castro.
Yep.
I don't remember even some of the other people that have left.
Tulsi.
No, Tulsi's not making it. Thank God. No more Tulsi bullshit. No more having to listen to that. You know, and
Aloha means everything.
It doesn't look like Andrew Yang has made the stage, so that's a good thing. I mean, I like Yang and all, but he ain't going the distance, so.
No.
He's filling people's mouths with whipped cream now.
Right, I seen that.
That's his thing.
I seen that.
He cream pies.
I gotta get
people
out of the South. I'm starting to sound like a moron.
I seen that.
What do you mean starting to?
Fuck you, Scotty. Anyway, so, look, I'm excited that this field is narrowing down. I want to see it narrow down even more. I think there's about four people on this that I'd actually maybe think have a place on the stage. And Amy Klobuchar, fucking, she's the next one I'm just waiting to go. Just go, bitch. Just get out of here. Because you're worse than fucking Harris, in my opinion.
With this many people, there's a chance that they could go at each other a little more, have some substantive arguments about policy, call each other out, and
we'll see.
Give better, longer answers to more focused fucking questions.
And I mean, the media has really been dropping the ball in these fucking questions that they're asking these candidates, by the way. So let's get to another story. Graphic: Los Angeles police officer accused of fondling dead woman.
What? Is he that hard up? Or is he just that fucking weird?
Man, what the fuck, dude?
Oh, she's dead. She won't mind anyway.
This is what's out policing the streets of L.A., a dude that feels up corpses. Isn't that great?
Let's see.
The LAPD confirms that about 2 weeks ago, a call came from Central Division. located near Skid Row, that the body of a woman, possibly dead, was found inside a residence. Two officers, both male, responded, confirmed that the woman was dead. One officer went to retrieve some paperwork from his car. The second officer stayed alone in the room with a dead woman. The LAPD confirms that that officer then turned off his body cam. And the allegation is, quote, he inappropriately touched the woman's body. According to sources, we have been told that the video shows that the officer apparently fondled the dead woman's breast.
What video? If he turned off the body cam, what video was there?
Did he not turn the video off, or what happened?
Did he not turn it off right? Was there like a second camera in the house, or what's going on? How they figure this out?
Sources confirmed that even though the body cam had been shut off, they are designed to still record for 2 minutes after being shut off.
That's a smart little feature.
A smarter feature would be don't let them turn off the body cam.
Yeah, have it something that is turned on when they show up for work and doesn't turn off until they get done with work.
That would be the way to do it. From his body cam for that night, where it was stored with literally thousands of hours of other body cam video.
A few days ago, I am told the officer in charge here at Central Division, in charge of looking at the video from the body-worn cameras, just took one off the shelf at random, no particular reason, grabbed one, put it in his machine, and looked at it.
This from the police union. Quote, if this allegation is true, then...
I mean, if there's video of it, like, you know, and it's
there's
definitely...
No, there's
it's
kind
true,
of no,
right? If. I mean, then, I mean, like... Hey, let's just see what's on this body cam. Oh, he seems to be fondling some dead woman's tit.
No organization is ever going to say it's true because then they can be sued.
Right.
So they're always going to say the allegation.
But clearly, this allegation,
if there's video evidence that this guy did that, I mean, come on, that's pretty damning. There's not much debate.
Exhibited by this officer is not only wrong, but extremely disturbing and does not align with the values we as police officers hold dear.
I mean, come on, let's be real, you know?
It doesn't align with our values.
If the same group of people... I mean, you know, look, everyone knows that police and necrophilia go hand in hand, man.
Yep.
So happy
hand
together.
In dead hand.
You know what this makes me think of?
What?
The fucking, like, hundreds of years of police action that have taken place in countries all over the world where there was no accountability whatsoever, and all the insane shit that officers do using that cloak of... You know, unaccountable.
And just totally got away with it. Yeah.
That's feeling up corpses, kicking puppy. You know, like it's all been done.
Killing people, whatever they want to do.
Yep.
I wonder how many times. I wonder if a cop has ever shot somebody and then fucked the bullet hole.
I bet it's happened.
You know what's crazy with this? Is this guy clearly? Because I guarantee you, whoever this guy's superior is, and when they all got these body cams at the training, I guarantee they were told, like, now even if you turn this off, it's still going to record for another 2 minutes. So just have that in your brain. If you turn this off, it's still going to record for 2 whole minutes.
Yeah, dude, 2 minute
remember that. So if you do that, you know, your body cam needs to fall off your body or something. You know, like, because, you know, obviously, they're going to work the loopholes of the system. Obviously, this cop is so fucking dumb. He's like, it's off. Ooh, I can go to town.
Jesus. I can feel up this corpse that I found's tits. I mean, how hard up are you?
I know, so I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, especially
I know she's dead and she doesn't mind, but
I mean,
fuck,
especially,
dude, come on.
Especially as a cop, too. Because, you know what I mean? Like, cops can get laid.
Cops can always get laid.
Yeah,
a cop can easily get laid pretty much anywhere he goes.
I mean, I don't know, though. We haven't seen this cop. He might be some big, fat,
donut munching
fuck.
I mean, even so, there's definitely some woman somewhere that'll fucking fuck him just because he's a cop.
Probably.
I'm a cop, baby.
And these values include respect and reverence for the deceased. This behavior has no place in law enforcement.
Yeah, we don't fondle corpses. We just make them.
Yeah.
I mean,
Get it right. Come on.
You know, we like to shoot the living. We don't like to fondle the dead.
Yeah. Where's the reverence for the living in law enforcement is what I want to know.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Sadly missing.
So, what a fun story, you know? This is a little, like, I figure we could use a little lighthearted.
I mean,
kinda,
and what are the,
know?
Yeah.
And what are the odds that, too? I mean, like, to me, that whole story sounds like bullshit. The guy just grabbed a random
tape. Yeah, he just
tape.
Happened to grab a
Come
random
on.
One.
It was like his buddy or his partner was like, that dude, did he fucking really just feel up a corpse? Like, what happened here?
I'm thinking he was, I kind of walked in some, like, grabbing a corpse titty, so
trying
you
to
might want
to
look at that fucking cam footage.
I was checking her pulse. Is she alive? It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, maybe he's going to make that case. Like, look, I grabbed her tit to see if she was faking. You know?
I was trying to do a chest rub. Look, TJ, like, you can do this to people. You take your knuckle and you put it in their sternum, dude.
I was trying to perform CPR.
Mouth to nipple CPR. I was trying to blow air into her lungs through her titties.
Mouth to areola resuscitation.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I was unsuccessful.
Well, he didn't. It doesn't say he sucked the tits. Let's not exaggerate claims here. But
I love titties. I got to be honest with you.
Titties are great. Yeah.
I love titties. I love grabbing titties and feeling titties and all of that shit.
Well, who doesn't?
I've never been in such need to grab titty that I would look over my shoulder twice and grab a corpse's tits. You know what I mean? I just don't understand the mental space where you got to squeeze a titty that bad.
It's like, man,
maybe it's been a while, Paul.
Go to a strip club. You could squeeze some titty over there.
Maybe he wanted to feel a dead titty.
I mean, you don't know how. Maybe that corpse was looking real, real good, Paul.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that was one of the sexiest fucking corpses you've ever seen in your life, you know, you just needed one little squeeze, man.
I got to know.
Yeah. One little squeeze,
bro. It was
bro.
Like early 90s Pamela Anderson land.
Yeah, you're just like, God damn. Maybe he was just checked. Maybe the fucking tits were huge, and he's just like, I got to see if these are real real quick, you know?
Is it real?
Is that silicone? No, that's natural. That's natural. Willie Nelson says he's given up smoking grass because of health issues.
Another fucking example of the Berenstain universe,
Another one bites the dust.
All right, wait. What version of reality am I in now, dude?
The Berenstain universe. Welcome.
I've got to be.
Berenstain.
This is the place where Willie Nelson no longer smokes weed, where Donald Trump is president.
San Antonio, Texas. Texas icon Willie Nelson told a San Antonio television station he has given up smoking after years of marijuana use has taken its toll. Despite his recent breathing problems, the 86-year-old Nelson told KSAT TV he has no plans to give up touring and performing. I love the bus, Nelson told the station. This is my home. Performing, Nelson says, is key to staying healthy and happy. It's an energy exchange, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he doesn't smoke weed no more. I have abused my lungs quite a bit in the past, so breathing is a little more difficult these days, and I have to be careful. I started smoking cedar bark. You can smoke cedar bark?
I guess.
Jesus. Went from that to cigarettes to whatever, and that almost killed me. I don't smoke anymore, take better care of myself. So it never says he stopped eating weed.
Yeah, so Willie Nelson's probably just moved on to edibles.
Just
and
munching
shit.
Weed now. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess that's okay.
I don't know. I need some clarification. Like, this is the problem with these motherfuckers that interview people, man. Because if I heard Willie Nelson say that, I'd be like, so are you, doing edibles, or are you just giving up on weed entirely? Like, you know,
You're drinking the weed soda now? Or what's
how do you not
on?
Ask the follow-up question there? You know, some motherfucker has his story land in his lap, like Willie Nelson quit smoking weed, and he's just like, probably just went right on to the next thing. It's like, man, you just fucking had a fucking big story land in your lap, and you didn't do nothing with it.
Yeah,
fuck.
And if you try to use the angle that's like, see how bad weed is, like Willie Nelson's 86.
Dude, what is up with Willie Nelson's earlobes? Are you looking at these?
Yeah.
Holy fuck, man.
This dangly.
Dude, what you do?
I think earlobes are like balls, dude.
Willie Nelson.
The older you get, the danglier they are.
Dude, Willie Nelson's gotten into some shit, dude. He never paid the IRS. He had to do a bunch of concerts. You remember that shit, TJ? Was it the Farm Aid or Live Aid? Not Live Aid,
something
but Farm Aid.
Something like that.
He's been busted more times than I can account.
In Texas, too.
Yeah. Just with weed on his bus.
But you know what? Whatever. When you're Willie Nelson, you don't really get the fucking book.
He's fucking Willie Nelson, dude.
Dude, if I was a cop and I fucking busted into a bus and it was Willie Nelson in there smoking, I would turn my body cam off, wait 2 minutes, and then get fucking blazed.
Well, it sounds like he just quit for his health, man. You know what? Good for him.
Yeah, you know, you're 86 years old. He smoked the weed long enough.
It's kind of sad, though, because, you know, it's kind of a pilgrimage for a lot of fucking actors and musicians and shit to hook up with Willie and smoke a blunt with him, and that's just not going to be happening no more.
Nope.
You know what I mean?
Nope. Now you got
smoking wisdom is
now
no longer
to,
available.
We have
to
defer to the runner-ups of Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, and you know what?
Oh, my God. When Snoop Dogg quits, I'm quitting.
Yeah.
There's
no point even smoking anymore.
Because, look, dude, the one person that Snoop Dogg said smoked more pot than him or had a higher tolerance was Willie Nelson.
Well,
the mantle has been passed.
It's almost unique across, when you talk to people that have spent time with Willie Nelson, one of the things that almost all of them mention during interviews or just, you know, talking off the cuff about Willie is how much this dude can smoke. I wish that I had, you know, the connections and before, obviously, he quit to sit down and just have a sesh with Willie. Because I guarantee you he could smoke me under the fucking table.
Oh, yeah. All of us, probably.
He could probably smoke all of us combined under the table.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, dude.
I mean, now...
But you know what?
Now the only dream I have like that is Snoop Dogg. Like, I just want to be standing in a circle of people smoking a blunt with Snoop Dogg one day. Because he likes to get it going both ways. That's his thing. Like, Snoop Dogg, if he's doing the smoking circle thing, he likes there to be two blunts making simultaneous, you know, rounds around the circle so that basically you're never not smoking.
Awesome.
I want that.
That's fucking brilliant, dude.
Dude, I got to get high with Snoop Dogg one time in my life.
A weed innovator, dude. A weed innovator.
So, yeah, I mean, like, good on you, Willie. You know, you might not be able to do it like you used to, but you're still a legend.
Yeah, I don't hate him for it.
Oh, God, no.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, man.
You done what he done. He probably smoked that shit for fucking, longer than any of us have ever been alive, so.
He's smoked enough weed to by this point in his life, to fuel probably 10,000, pot smokers'
dude,
lives.
Well, when I fucking lived in Washington, dude, I always bought Willie's Reserve. People be like, no, man. The bartenders be like, no, man, it's not the best. I'm like, man, fuck that, dude. It's Willie's.
Yeah, it's got Willie Nelson.
Yeah, I gotta
get out
fucking
of my
do
way.
It.
Yeah, who cares? Crowds of people line up for first day of legal marijuana sales in Michigan.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I gotta say, dude, I'm really happy for Michiganese right now because what else do they fucking got over
nothing.
There? You know what I mean? Like
the fucking tundra.
If there was a state that was desperately in need of pot shops, it's fucking Michigan, man. So good on Michigan.
So brand new recreational marijuana sales underway in Michigan marked a historic boom for the emerging industry, and hundreds of people lined up for the first day of legal marijuana sales. Shops in Ann Arbor were among the first in the state allowed to sell pot. Business owners say the sale of recreational marijuana is something they've been working towards for years, and customers hope today is just the beginning. On a busy Sunday, doors open at 10 a.m. sharp. In the heart of Ann Arbor, marijuana retailers Greenstone Provisions on Ashley Street, Exclusive Provision Centers on Varsity Drive, and Arbor's Wellness on East Liberty are all eager to service recreational users. Sunday's move comes after Michigan voters spoke more than a year ago, choosing to make our state the 10th in the country to sell recreationally. Customers in Ann Arbor are sharing their enthusiasm for this day and buying affordable product tested by the state. In total, the state issued 18 licenses to help make this happen, including to growers and processors. So Michigan now joining the weed game. And, you know, that means that, you know, people in Ohio who missed their chance to legalize
dude,
it
I was gonna
can
fucking
now
say that.
Make the sojourn to Michigan to get their green.
You motherfuckers got it. We could have had fucking legal weed in Ohio when we fucking lived there. We could have had fucking legal weed. Now goddamn fucking stupid-ass Michigan has beat Ohio again.
Dumb-ass Michigan.
Oh,
Ohio State.
Paul's smoking some tobacco over there.
Ohio State may have whooped Michigan's ass in that goddamn college football game, but when it comes to fucking buying legal weed,
Michigan has prevailed.
Whipped Ohio's ass.
This is the most annoying load
dude,
screen thing I've
and
seen.
And TJ, remember what happened? Remember all the fucking people that voted against legalizing weed in Ohio said, you know what we're going to do next time? Next election, we're going to have legal weed in Ohio.
Yeah, we're going to have...
How'd that work out 5 years later, motherfuckers?
Yeah, and I remember all the pot smokers in Ohio being like, this, you know, I want to get it legal here, but this bill's no good, man.
That's such a pothead
no good,
thing
man.
To do. Talk yourself out
don't
of victory.
Don't worry, though. Next year, we're going to have a better bill. And like Scotty said, it's been 5 years and it still ain't happened.
I mean, I agree. There's definitely problems with the bill that came up or the ballot
yeah,
initiative.
Yeah, but pass the bill and then fix that shit later. Get it. Get you got to fucking you know you got to fucking get it in. You got to get the fucking
well, that's
legal
what I
weed
said.
Passed.
That's what I
and
said.
Then you fucking fix it.
The only danger I saw of it was like I'm like, look, if they don't pass this, I really don't think it's gonna come up again. And it didn't.
Got this surefire idea that's gonna make us $10 million, but fucking hear me out, man. Let's scrap it because our next idea might make us $20 million.
Remember the thing...
Total pothead move.
Well, the thing was that they could only grow it in 10 places in the state because there's going to be a commercial monopoly. And they're like, no, we can't have the monopoly. We can't have the monopoly. And it was like, yeah, I see your point. But at the same time, you'd have had legal weed.
I mean, you've got to understand that monopoly is going to be fucking blown wide open if enough states can pass this to get it federally blanket legalized. You know what I mean?
Yeah, then that's done anyways.
Then then there's going to be fucking weed going over the borders and shit, and it's all fucking gravy. And that monopoly is going to have to compete. So... It's just a silly idea. It's like thinking like Ohio's just going to be the same for the next 100 years. It's you know, winning the battle or losing the battle to win the war, which is...
Oh, and I mean, now Ohio is such a conservative state that it's going to be a long time before you see legal weed there. It's probably going to be at around the same time it becomes nationally legal.
Yeah, Ohio is a piece of shit state, dude.
Oh, they become like a southern state in the fucking in the north.
They really have, man. It's kind
of
crazy. It's
like they're even. I mean, a lot of stuff that's going on there legislatively is crazier than shit that goes on here, and that's fucking wild.
And that's saying something.
I know, because we live in the fucking deep south, and even the Republicans in the fucking Louisiana are less crazy at this point.
What a sad fucking state of affairs.
Trump. Speaking of Republicans, calls Trudeau two-faced, cancels press conference, and leaves NATO summit early after video of world leaders making fun of him.
Well, you know what? Trump has every right as president to do this, especially, TJ, do you want our fucking great president, the leader of our nation, to take shit off some Canadian? Who is Trudeau? The fucking prime minister or whatever of this other country? You want our president to be insulted and just sit there and take it, TJ?
No. No!
Trump took a fucking stand. Trump called out Canada. They've only been paying about, what 1.24% that they needed to pay TJ into NATO to keep their military funding obligations. They have not kept their obligations. They're a country of goddamn cutthroats and backstabbing pieces of shit. And the minute Trump's back was turned, you'll notice, Trudeau goes after him. Doesn't even have the courtesy or the fucking courage to say it to Trump's face. Fuck this goddamn country. Invade tomorrow. Make it America, and make this country even greater than it already is.
Make Canada America again.
President Donald Trump has reacted furiously to footage of world leaders apparently making fun of him, calling Justin Trudeau two-faced. I mean, the world leaders are literally just gathering like, this Trump guy, huh?
I listened to it, and you can really only hear Trudeau.
Right.
And he says, they're grousing about how Trump was late to everything because he called a 40-minute press conference before he even would show up at the thing.
Yeah.
And so they were bitching about how, like, you know, nobody else is calling 40-minute press conferences. And then he was talking about, I can't remember the last little snipe he takes at him.
I think we see the video. It's just some, like, someone zoomed in on them all talking.
Right.
Is it this?
Do you have a video of Prime Minister Trudeau talking about you?
Like, this is just Trump.
This is him reacting to it.
He's two-faced.
And honestly, with Trudeau, he's a nice guy. I find him to be a very nice guy. But, you know, the truth is that I called him out on the fact that he's not paying 2%. And I guess he's not very happy about it. I mean, you were there a couple of times.
Trump looks genuinely wounded in this clip. Is it just me?
He's hurt, man.
Like, go back to when he says he's two-faced. There's a wistful sadness about Trump that I've never seen. Look at him.
Look at it. Look. Poor Trump.
Well, he's two-faced.
Look at him. Look how sad he is. Dude, he hurt Grandpa Trump's fucking feelings.
Damn, dude. What a dick, man.
He's two-faced.
He's two-faced, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a nice guy.
And then he goes back and says nice things about him. You know, so he even feels bad about the one little outburst he had. Dude, Trump has feelings now.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, here it is. Okay. Here's the video of Trudeau.
Hey, I'm bringing this with you. I thought you hated DirecTV.
God, it's a fucking ad that we can't even see.
I can't even see the ad, dude.
What is this?
You know what would solve this problem?
Here it comes.
What?
I don't know. What would solve it? Whatever company that fucking made this ad.
Let me guess. DirecTV will solve it.
Of sand.
Oh, yeah. It sounds great.
You think
sand.
You're dealing with the one-trick pony?
Dude, what is this?
I don't know.
Early termination fees are evil.
Yeah, get rid of them early termination fees.
DirecTV bad. Spectrum good.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Spectrum good. Thanks.
So you can see Macron there talking some shit, too, but you can't hear what he's saying. So
basically, all shit. They're all like having their all like post Trump. Like, man, fucking Trump.
Everybody
dude.
See, that's the thing about this that I think hurt Trump more than anything is that it wasn't just Trudeau who he's tried to be real nice to.
It was all of them.
It was Macron who he was really close with. If you'll remember, at the beginning of his presidency, he and Macron were just walking around Paris with their arms around each other and clapping each other on the back all hard and shit. And now, like, Macron's standing over there, and you can't hear what he's saying. But Trump, dementia hasn't taken away his ability to fucking understand what's going on in a little grousing circle like that. You know what I mean? Nobody's standing there defending Trump.
Yeah.
No.
No one's there like, actually, I think he's right. Fucking great.
And you can see the back of Macron, and he's very emphatically, like, pointing his finger. So you can tell that, like, he's just upping the ante on what fucking you could hear Trudeau say there.
So Trump was caught on microphone congratulating himself about his Trudeau attack. He said, that was funny when I said the guy's two-faced. Let's see that.
I mean, it was kind of sad.
Is it on here? That's just more of that. Does it actually have this supposed moment? I guess it doesn't.
Why would it? Maybe so, it's at the end of that.
Maybe. Yeah, let's see.
Skip through it. No, I guess not. It's just the same thing. Video. At least that one didn't have a fucking 23-second invisible ad on it.
So yeah. Donald Trump has been caught mocking press coverage of his decision to abruptly cancel a press conference, which was announced shortly after a video service showing several world leaders ridiculing the American president. Imagine that.
Damn.
During the would-be private remarks, which were observed by multiple reporters in London, which I don't know why you would talk with a bunch of reporters around if you don't want it to be heard, Mr. Trump congratulated himself for attacking Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who he called two-faced after being seen in a video laughing at the U.S. president. Oh, and then you know what they'll say? Mr. Trump was heard responding to an unknown attendee. He didn't do a press conference. He didn't do a press conference. Why does Trump always repeat himself?
Because
he really feels the need to emphasize. Yeah.
He continued,
I guess,
referring to Mr. Trudeau. That was funny when I said the guy was two-faced. Trump, one rule about being funny. If you have to tell people it was funny, it wasn't funny.
You know what was funny? That great joke I made.
That joke I made was fucking funny. No,
you remember when you guys remember when I called Trudeau two-faced and then I looked really sad for a minute? That was pretty funny. Huh?
I think that's why he said this. I think he realized that he showed a little moment of being wounded, and he was like, no, I gotta make it like this is all a big joke. Like, I don't take this seriously. Yeah, it was funny when I did that. So, no, not really.
It was kind of sad. I felt kind of bad for you. You seem like the unpopular girl in high school that catches the other girls talking shit on her or something.
Right.
Yeah, that's because Trump has fucking shoved his nose into the business of all these other countries and talked a bunch of shit to the leaders of these countries. So of course, they're going to be like, you're kind of a dick, Trump. We don't really want to fucking, you're not really in the circle anymore. You know, you are because you're the country you represent, but no one actually personally likes you in any way.
Poor Trump.
Poor Twump.
I mean, look at this fucking picture, dude. Look at this. I mean,
poor Grandpa Twump.
This fucking picture, if you're just looking at it, it's like, who wants to hang out with this dude?
I would.
I mean, I wouldn't expect to have a great time, but, you know, I'd take my 10 minutes with Trump.
I bet it'd be fun.
You don't know.
I bet it'd be interesting, at least. You know?
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
Get a little glimpse, man.
I think it might just be, like, totally boring and banal. There's a possibility that Trump behind the scenes is just a total blowhard that you don't want to be around. I don't know.
How's your steak?
Go ahead.
I was gonna, how's your steak, TJ? Is it cooked enough for you?
Yeah.
Want some ketchup with it?
Good ketchup.
I love a well-done steak.
FBI never completes hundreds of thousands of gun checks.
This is great to know that even the little, tiny, minute barriers that we have to crazy people getting their hands on weapons that can kill a bunch of people with, it's not even being followed up on.
I think it's good. The more free you are, Paul, the better you feel.
Says the FBI never completes hundreds of thousands of gun background checks each year because of a deadline that requires it to purge them from computers, despite a report that raised alarms about the practice in 2015.
I see no problem.
So they just can't decide what to do with the data, so they do nothing with it, basically.
A 2015 internal report on what went wrong in the... Okay, sorry, there was a specific case we're talking about. The data obtained by CQ Roll Call, which had not been previously published, shows how the FBI still struggles to complete background checks 4 years after a breakdown in the system contributed to a shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, that left 9 black churchgoers dead. A 2015 internal report on what went wrong in that case recommended ways to decrease the number of background checks that take longer than 88 days. After that point, the FBI must purge checks from its computers. That year, the Bureau processed more than 8.9 million checks and never completed 200,360.
So basically, part of the law says that they can't keep your information for this amount of time, and the FBI can't complete the amount of gun checks that are coming across their desks in that 88-day period. That's what I'm getting from this.
So hundreds
of thousands of these just get purged from their systems, having never been looked at by an agent. So there could be a person that has multiple gun felonies or multiple fucking, you know, instances of physical violence or, you know, a history of drugs or a history of mental illness could just walk into one of these stores, fill out all the data that should be flagged immediately, and it just walk out with their fucking gun 88 days later. There you go. There's your gun.
Yes, I mean, like, obviously this system either needs more resources or you need a longer period of time that they're allowed to keep the data or...
Dude, no one's... is anyone actually going to wait 88 days to buy a gun in America?
No.
I mean, so I don't know if they can sell them the gun in that intervening time, but even if not, just go to a gun show. Just find a private
I don't think they have to wait 88 days. I think that you have to wait a certain amount of time, and then they... I don't know. I haven't bought a gun.
I think it depends on the state.
But yeah, I don't think anybody's actually waiting the 88 days. It's just that's the amount of time that the FBI has to look into these people and decide they shouldn't have that weapon.
I mean, in this country, it's so easy to get a gun. I mean, even going to a, I mean, yeah, you can go to a gun shop and buy
a gun.
So
I've never, I mean, I don't know. I've never I never bought a gun before. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, I never have.
But, you know.
TJ, all you have to do.
I'm assuming that if I wanted a gun, I could probably have one by this time next week.
Yeah, depending on where you are, too.
Are you joking? You could have a gun, I guarantee you.
You have a gun by tonight?
Yes. Do you want to go buy a gun? That's all you got to do.
Maybe, I don't know.
I guarantee you, TJ, you could go buy a gun and have it today.
Cool.
From either a private seller or from a business.
So, but could I buy it from a gun? Could I get it from a gun store today? Could I go into a gun store and buy a gun and have it?
Yeah.
Tonight.
I'm pretty damn.
Like, isn't
sure
there
could.
Like? Isn't there supposed to be some kind of background check shit? Like, even.
Well, yeah, but you. I mean, you would pass.
Cool.
I mean, and even if you didn't, all we have to do is. Find
but doesn't it? I mean, I thought it took a little minute to do it, right?
Oh, it might take a little time, yeah. It might take an hour or something.
Oh, okay, so it's not that long.
Well, there's different levels of these backgrounds.
I mean,
checks.
It depends on, and this, I'm talking about the state of Louisiana. Now, obviously, there's other states you could take longer. They might have different waiting periods.
The FBI is obviously, like, the last part of the dragnet, right? So you're getting background checked locally at some level to get one of these guns. There's
Roger.
Some kind of background
I think the state police do it.
Right.
In this state.
And then... you've got the federal layer, which is supposed to be headed up by the FBI, which are the experts, supposedly, in this type of criminology. And they're, you know.
But if I went to a gun show, I wouldn't even have to get a background check. I could just buy it, right?
Right. Well, there's all kinds of shit.
Why not just bypass that and all those questions and just buy it from a private party?
Well, that's the thing. And that's totally legal, too.
Yeah.
It's totally legal for an owner of a firearm to make a private sale of that firearm in most places without any fucking paperwork.
Yep. I think, yeah. So, I mean, I could probably go on, like, I don't know, Craigslist or something and go get a gun.
Absolutely.
Dude, go look right now. I guarantee you, if you put an AR-15 in this area into Craigslist, and I guarantee you there's going to be someone selling that shit.
All right.
And you could easily
go
buy it.
Let's see about it. I'm going to go on there now.
Not even difficult, dude. It's not even hard to get a gun in Louisiana.
Well, it's totally legal, too. I mean, this is not, like, considered to be a shady way of getting a weapon.
No, not at all. Like, I mean, it's...
Private
sales are just not regulated, really. I mean, I'm sure there might be some regulation. Like, yeah, they have to be over a certain age, but no one's going to... I mean, it's money. They don't give a shit. As long as, like, if they're asking $700 for an AR-15...
I don't know that... I mean, I think that Craigslist might have, like, a rule against it or something, because I don't
see... Oh, they don't sell them on anymore?
I don't see any on here.
No, maybe they stopped selling them. Or stopped allowing listings for them.
Yeah, you're now on every list ever, by the way, TJ. You're trying to find guns.
I don't think trying to find
Craig's
a gun in
list.
America is is that fucking much of a red flag. If it is, then you know I think a pretty. I mean, especially in Louisiana. Yeah, but I'm sure I could get one pretty easily.
Probably so.
Doesn't really seem like Craigslist is the place to do it, though.
And you definitely shouldn't have one. So
all right, so this
system
is
not working. System failed already because TJ could get a gun.
So we got some more stories coming up, but we've reached the point in the show where
that's the end of the pleb show.
That's the end of the pleb show. They got 43 minutes and 50 whatever seconds of content, plus whatever it takes me to
all right,
get through this
shit.
What? But I want to give I want to let people know what we're going to be covering in the patron show. So we're going to be taking a look at some British people reacting to learning about. The cost of healthcare in the United States.
Healthcare, I like that better.
Okay,
dude.
We're gonna be watching the new James Bond No Time to Die trailer and giving our thoughts on that.
Okay,
we're gonna be looking at some Joe Biden weirdness. We're gonna be looking at Hillary Clinton coughing.
Oh God,
we're back gonna, off a lot. I have nothing.
This sound. This sounds like a tour of the seventh layer of hell.
Oh, it's gonna be
the room of Clinton Coffin.
Canto seven.
We're gonna learn about George Zimmerman, the guy who shot Trayvon Martin, is up to some wackiness. We're gonna learn about that. We're gonna see a guy struggling against Trump's wall. We're gonna see how tough Trump's wall truly is.
Got it.
We're gonna learn about Kid Rock and what he's up to. And we're going to also look at the trailer, the number one on trending trailer for Marvel's Black Widow.
Oh, shit. All right.
Dude, if I wasn't participating in the content, I'd become a patron just to see what the fuck is up with Kid Rock. I got to know.
Yeah, what's
Kid gotta
Rock?
Know Kid, what's Kid Rock doing, damn it?
What's going on in the world of Kid Rock? Because I haven't even thought about Kid Rock
Kid
in
Rock
10 years.
Is going to be the next president.
So if you want to see all that, become a patron. And that's the end of the plebs section. Boom, it's done.